Well, as you can see, we don't have a speaker tonight. We have the talker, Millie. And I'm going to try to explain my trip that I had just a little. And you know, I haven't tried this before except maybe one or two people at a time because it's not easy. But most of you know that my dream that we just sang about, I would like to be able to plant what I call little spiritual gardens wherever God will give me the opportunity, because I believe most of you that have been here for any length of time can say that each of you have been so good for each other. You've helped each other in so many ways, finding jobs and romance and all sorts of things in these years as I've stood here. And most of you know I've been in this spot since 79. And I've just seen so many wonderful things happen. And I feel like it's such a great thing. And you know, you only come because you want to. You don't come because we have attendance here that's going to check it off whether you're here or not. And I know that if you come here, you're coming so that you can help somebody else have a good time, have somebody else feel loved, have somebody else know that they're appreciated and that you're glad that they're there. And of course, also to get some Starbucks at the end when we finish. Right? Thank you to Diane. And she's got beautiful tomatoes back there also. So if you can get me to be quiet soon enough, we can get started on the coffee and the tea and the tomatoes in the Starbucks. But most of you who know me for any length of time know that each summer I go where I'm invited to do what I call my spiritual circles. So let me start out with the beginning of just this one happening that I just had for 2 weeks. I left for Raleigh in North Carolina, and of course my very first to greet me is my daughter and my three grandchildren. Now, most of you know that this daughter was a special gift to me from God because I didn't get her until she was 13, turning 14. And she's definitely my daughter with three of my grandchildren. So here I go. She picks me up at the airport, I go, and her children are tiny. The oldest is 10, and down to 4 years old, three of them. So I get there, and they have my corner of the couch all set up. And there I get to sit. Then they push this table over so my feet's up there. They put a cushion under my feet. And I sit there. They rub my feet with lotion. And I rub my feet with lotion. And then they rub my hands. And my 7-year-old knew how to take care of your joints. So she really worked hard to keep my joints moving really good in my hands. And they got done with that, even though it was bedtime. They still put makeup on me to make me look prettier. And then they had their mother take my picture. And I'm all stretched out now on the couch with my feet up. And it looked for all the world when that picture was done that there was an energy leaving me. And I looked pretty much like I... But anyhow, the picture was just a fluke because I'm still here. So anyhow, that to me was just so fun. And then from the couple days that I was with her, I didn't do a thing. I didn't have to decide on what I was going to eat, what I was going to do. Everything was just, I just moved where they told me to. And I had the opportunity of reading for her neighbor who has very severe cancer and is, according to the doctor's world, won't be here too much longer. And I got to read for her and her family, and I had some really nice touch-ins, as I call them, that was all set up for me. And you know how I love to get the opportunity of helping people know for the first time that there's no death, you know, and whoever loved you when they were in the body, they're still going to love you. So I got to do that, and then Lauren who some of you know, Lauren Sawyer, who had been out here in California when she was about, I don't know, maybe 20 years old, and she was in my class in Escondido. So she drove up from Greensville, North Carolina, to meet me and drive me back down there. And we all had a bite to eat together, and then I drove off to Greenville. And the time I got to Greenville, she said, "Now you don't have too long to rest now, but I want you to put your feet up a little while because I have people that are coming for readings." So she had me for the days that I was there just book one, and she starts saying, "Are you tired?" I'm saying, "No, I didn't have to do anything except read." Between meetings, she would have cheese and crackers and food and all sorts of stuff for me to eat, and all I had to do was read. So it was easy, you know, and fun for me, and I got to meet a lot of people that I had only met by telephone. She is a counselor, and people that she thought I could help, she'll have them call me on the telephone. So I had met some of them by phone, but had never laid eyes on them before. So you have to know that part of my trip I felt was just really nice, and that took on several days of my time there. Then in the evenings, we had circles. Now, if you're not aware of what I'm talking about, if you don't understand what I say a circle is, a circle is when we sit around in a circle and we do our best to want somebody else there in that circle to have a nice happening, to have perhaps a grandma touch in, or grandpa, or great-grandpa, or the neighbor that they loved, or have touch in from somebody that's free of the body. We also welcome Jesus Christ and the Blessed Mother, anyone that's free of the body that chooses to come and say hello to us. So that's what we did each evening. Now, some of the people I had known before, some had been in the circles because I've been going back there each year, and some I had never met before, and Ruth, who most of you have met here, and a good many of you have met here, her sisters came because they kind of wanted to know a little bit about what is their sister getting into. Yeah, her sister's a grown woman. And her sister, I believe, is also the person that I had asked God to find for me. Because she heads the physics department, and she's a nuclear physicist and a chemist and scientist and super educated, but along with that, a super personality. She's no stick in the mud. How many have met Ruth? Isn't she just a joy with all that education she's got in there? She is a complete joy. And her humor, she probably wouldn't want to hear me say this, but it matches mine very well. So I enjoy her. And so Ruth, two sisters were there to kind of see what she had been getting herself into. And I think that the thing that... Oh, I was going to tell you, this is why I can't tell this very well. My mind goes that direction, then it goes this one. Then it goes this one, then it goes who knows where. But I believe the sisters were pretty well convinced because they had just looked up some of their ancestors. So just in case they would come, it might be interesting. Well, there was this huge man that came, stood behind one of the sisters. And I know if you haven't sat in a circle, you probably think this is crazy. I'm sorry, but it's my God work, and I feel that I've tested enough to know that it'd be true, but some of you may not agree. But anyhow, here was this man, he was huge, and she says, "Oh my goodness, I just read about him. He was 6'7", and that was really tall." It's tall now, but it was really tall when he lived, which was like about four generations ago. So they were just high as a kite because they knew that not even Ruth knew that. And he was some sort of a grandpa. So that was really fun for me to see them all of a sudden begin to realize that there is deeper truth here. Well, we, again, having those circles there in Lauren's office in Raleigh, North Carolina. You know, that's kind of the Bible Belt back there. Everybody knows that, right? So a good many that had come to that circle was coming out of curiosity and a little bit of apprehension, because they had been brought up in, like, what I would say, dogmatic religions that says when you're dead, you're either going to go to heaven or hell. And don't know that you're still you, and you still want to talk to the people that you left behind. And there are no souls free of the body that's evil. Evil is here in the hearts of mankind, because that's what the Bible says. But they seem to have skipped over that. So when the souls come to us, some are more evolved than others, but they're not evil. They're good. The only reason they come is to do good. Because there's plenty of other things they could be doing free of the body. So we had those circles that I thought was really fun. And, you know, and they realized, some of them there realized they could tune in too. And they shocked themselves. I don't know why I want to say such and such. Oh, well, that was my grandpa. No, I don't know why when I see it. And so they, again, those were wonderful nights for me, I'll just say that. Then came Saturday, I guess it was. And, yes, and we went out to the farm that Ruth has. And Ruth's farm is number of acres, I don't know how many, a house that goes on forever, and all wood ceilings, wood everywhere, which is very conducive to making good circles, because it's good energy, you know, in wood, because wood is a living thing also, right? Those trees are alive and well, huh? Anybody gonna agree with me on that? Okay. So, we're going to go out there to Ruth. So we go out, and my Jenny comes down from Raleigh, and she joined in with us, and Moon was huge. Now you have to know when you have a, okay, some of you are going to say this is weird also. But when the moon is out, there's an energy there, the same energy that pulls the tide, can help those souls make contact with us. And so the moon just happened to be out and full and beautiful, and the sky was so clear. It was gorgeous. And it just happened that the bed that my daughter and I laid in, because her children didn't come that night, we slept in this bed with this moon coming right in over on us like that. Way out with nothing but trees and animals, and that big, beautiful moon. So the next day then was Sunday. And now, my goal is to connect science with spirituality. That's why this Ruth, I feel, is the answer to my prayers. Because she has read the Bible once a year for 24 years. The complete Bible. Once a year for 24 years. So she knows the Bible. She's been spiritual all her life. Combine that with science. And what do you have? The pastors of our morning to get together. Because younger generation coming in, they can't go along with some of the strong beliefs that are out there, like you'll have a judgment day, and you, if you have done wrong, you could go to hell. Young people aren't going to believe that anymore. My day they did. I was fortunate I didn't have any of that put upon me, but that's exactly what churches are teaching. I can't see that because I feel it's an insult to God, because God is love. God will never let anything happen to you unless you bring it on yourself, and then God will be there to help you. Now, some of us are here to bring lessons onto ourselves so that we can learn and grow. And God will help you through it. Because God is part of all of us, because God is love. Wherever love is, God is. Not out there on a tree branch somewhere or sitting on the side of the moon. God is love. Wherever love is, God is. Well, it just happens that the thoughts that I carry is also pretty much the thoughts that Ruth carries. So, we set ourselves up on Sunday with the circle. Sunday. And we set ourselves up with a Sunday afternoon circle. I don't know what day it was. Anyhow, a circle in the daylight upstairs in her big room. And we had a man that teaches history, so we could have our history. We needed it. We had a lady that teaches art in college, so she, if she gets a vision, she could put it on canvas. We had two, what I call brain people, who work with your brain, and one that works with your body and how it works, and a nurse, and a librarian, and an oceanographer. I don't know. Anyhow, we had this gathering of people that also want to know more and want to know how you can connect science with spirituality so that we get truth. We don't want to follow blindly just because somebody stands up here and says, I'm a minister and this is what you're going to want to believe. Now, I'm not against religion because, as you know, I'm a minister. But I do ask you, don't believe anything I say, but do test it out. And let me tell you, if you test it out and it tests to be true, then believe it to the point of knowing. Nobody can lay their trip to eternity on blind belief, please. So there we are, we're going to test it out. And it was, I can't give you all the things that was given to us, but it was magnificent. It was just magnificent. I don't know what else to say. And each person had input. Wasn't just me, it wasn't just Ruth. Each person had input. They could see, they feel, they knew, and each person could give what they were sensing and what they felt to be true. And they made a pact that they're going to work on this together, and they're going to have their meetings, and they're going to work on this. Now, this, I believe, is what's going to be helping the new generation coming in, because the generation that's coming in is even more advanced than the 50-year-olds that are here. And the 50-year-olds that are here now have much more knowledge than the older folks. Just the way it is. You know, there's more learning. And we had a man come, and now you have to know, Millie is not an educated woman. I'm a high school graduate, and I don't remember anything I learned in any of it. And I've never, not that I can't read, I can read, I'm not that bad. But I haven't allowed myself to read because what I get, I want to get from the angel kingdom. I don't want to get it from somebody else's mind that they put on paper. So I never do this. But only a few people have I ever allowed myself to kind of step aside and let the angels talk through me. Yeah, they help me with anything I say. But to just step aside and let them put the words through. Have anybody experienced that with me? Okay, good. Well, I'm very choosy, as you know. But I did. Because I thought this is my only chance to really help these people seal in what I hope that they will continue to work on. They're going to. They already are. That excites me. But I allowed myself to step aside and let them talk, and I came up with the name of Horace Mann, who I had no idea who that was, but they did, and they were very happy. And the next one I didn't want to give at all because I thought it was a movie star. And so I hesitated to give that name. It's Bertrand Russell. I thought, oh, that's a movie star. I can't give that. I must be wrong on this, and I'm in here fighting, you know, not to can't give that. Well, then I thought, okay, David, and Bruce was very excited about that because it happens he's a nuclear physicist. She'd already been working because she's working on her grant from the government is what do we eat if we have a nuclear fallout? That's what she's working on. And so he is perfect for her to work with. So as you know, she's got this great sense of humor, so she's going, oh, yeah, you know, they'll kick her feet in the air and act a little silly. And kind of like Millie would do, you know, anyhow. So that was a tremendous afternoon. And then everybody's in a serious mood. Now, you probably, if you haven't been in this before, Hallie, I think you have been a little bit in this before, so it shouldn't shock you too much. Hallie's new here tonight, everybody. Don't forget to meet her. But here I am. Everybody's so serious. We start to nibble at the down at the table, get some nibbles, and then somebody, Lauren, I guess it was, she said, well, let's table tip. Does anybody know what table tipping is?
Yeah.
That's when the energy comes through the table and it can make the lift the table. The same energy that makes your trees grow. Same energy that causes little baby body to grow in your tummy when you're pregnant. It's God's energy. And if they feel that you are sincere. Now, I don't think anybody should ever use the table or the Ouija board or crystal ball or cards or any of that unless you don't need it to talk to the angels. And then they will use it as a game to play with. But it's not something that you use unless you don't need it. So we started with their wood table. And it was going a little bit of energy could feel. And I said, to start with, let's take that little table over there, a little square table. Well, her floor was hard and it slid around. And I looked over at Scott, one of the brain men that was there, and I could see him going, oh boy, roll on his eyes, you know, when people roll their eyes, what they're really saying is, you stupid thing, how can you think I'm going to swallow that? Whoa. And I said, come on, Scott, put your hand on here. Come on. And he put his hand on it, and it scooted right over to him. So we go, oh, Scott, are you pulling the table, you know? So we teased him, and he knew he wasn't. But we teased him, and then I said, let's put the table on the carpet so it won't slide around so much. So we put the table on the carpet, and that table just was, it was happy. It was happy. And then Scott's wife got out the camera, and she's taking pictures. She wanted to get the pictures of all of this. I know if you're new here tonight, you're really going to, you know, don't tell me if you think I'm crazy, let me be, huh? But that table moved around like you wouldn't believe, and it laughed with us. It was hysterical. Now, Scott is still just holding back a little, and I'm saying, come on now, Scott. And he put his hand on, and I said, whose birthday is it today? And he said, my dad's. And that table went like that, and bang, and so hard it broke one leg. It didn't exactly break the leg, it kind of bent it in,
yeah.
And it went down. And we said, oh, no, good, what are we going to do now? Because the table's bent down, you know, like it's kind of bent down, pointing at the floor, and it just came right back up again. And one of the guys pulled the table leg under it, and then, oh, that's the way it went. So anyhow, each time we broke a leg, it'd go down and then come back and bring itself back up again.
I had a table climb in my lap, Millie.
So yeah, right here. So we really had a lot of fun with it. And it it just brightened the whole evening up after we'd all been so serious. Now you tell me that anything like that could not have been planned. You could not have planned that. It just was God's, well, the table, I think, was God's final gift to us for being so serious, letting us be fun and joyous. And then, oh, and Scott was so fun finally when he realized that nobody, because I took my hands off and this one took their hands off, and so it could still go. And Scott, now he's going, oh, yes, not up. So the table started dancing with him and following him. So that was my trip. And I tell you, when it gets so that science and spirituality connects, you're all going to have your truth. And I believe that many of you right here recognize that as what your soul is wanting also. Nothing so... We've got to not have blind followers. You can't just because somebody told you something, even just because I'm standing up here telling you my story. Don't believe it unless you test it out yourself. And you'll find out. It takes a few years. You think the first healing I had, I didn't believe it. And that was, I've probably told that before, it was bleeding from above my left kidney. And doctors had proof of that. They weren't sure what they were going to do because the only thing they could do then would be to go ahead and do surgery, which, because it was about 20 odd years ago. Had a circle, and the healing energy came. To make that story short, I could prove that by going to the doctor. He said, "I don't know what happened, but there's no blood here." So I can, you know, that I had pretty good proof of. But I'm not a blind follower. I'm Thomas. I want to know, and that's what the Bible was trying to teach us with the story of Thomas. Everybody know Thomas, doubting Thomas. You know, he wasn't going to believe it was Jesus Christ unless he could put his finger in the hole in the hand. So Jesus Christ let him do that. Ask for proof. Don't say, just prove it to me, God, in an indignant way. Because God will just say, oh, well, you're not ready. Go watch a tree grow and see if you can turn the grass green. But if you say, God, I don't know, but I really want to know. I want to know. I want to know and know I know about my path ahead and what path I should follow. God will gladly show you. God will give you proof. How many here have taken the time to get proof? Anybody want to tell me you've taken the time and you have your proof? That's a small number here. I'm surprised. I thought there would be more than that. Let me see the hands again. How many have taken time to get proof? Shallow up here, one here. This is the younger generation coming in. They're going to be giving you proof. But don't wait. Be there so that you can help them. So then, went back to my daughters in Raleigh. Again, got all that wonderful treatment. And then... And then Ruth drove up halfway because she'd already done it more exploring, and she told us about some of the exploring that she had already done of the things that had come through in the circle and found them to be true. And then we had a bite to eat, and she went home, and we went back to Raleigh, and I was there a couple more days and met some more people that I got to touch in with. And now I get on the airplane. I've got to tell you this. I'm running over. I got on the airplane, and I happened to have the A ticket, so I got a Southwest, you know, you get that best seat you can get, wherever that is. So I like the window, so I got the window seat, and I was really happy sitting there, and some guy came over, and he sat down here, and there's three seats, right? Now, the people that come in last, they kind of fill in wherever. Well, the middle seat stayed empty. And then this man that had been back there came up. And he said, "Do you mind if I sit here?" And I said, "No." So he I got the belts loose for him, and he sat down there. And I had my pillow because I was going to take a nap. We started talking, talked the whole way to Las Vegas, which was like 4 hours, I don't know, something like that, I don't know. And we never shut up. Here, Heath, that man before he got up, he said, you know, I walked by here and I saw you, and I thought, that'd be nice to sit there. And then I thought, no, I'll go back because I can get an aisle seat, and with these long legs, it'd be better. Then said, I found myself coming, saying, no, I want to go back up there. So we came back up and sat beside in the middle. And again, we never shut up. This man, I venture in very careful when I'm going to talk about my spiritual path, because there's a lot of people don't want to hear it. And you don't want to talk to anybody that doesn't want to hear it. So, because, you know, if they're happy where they are, then you leave them. And if anybody came in here, you must have been ready to hear it, or you wouldn't have come in here, I guess. But this man did not know of a religion like this. And actually, he'd been in a very dogmatic church. And he was unhappy with himself because he didn't enjoy going there. He'd go because he felt he should. But his thoughts and mine were just right like that. And I was able to pick up one people that was free, and I got to give him, you know, a reading. And we just had the best time. And when he left, he said, I need to tell you, that was design, not divine design, but that was a divine plan or something like that, he said, because I knew I was supposed to sit beside you. And he went on up. He was going up to Northern California. God used me. He's happier now because he realizes that he is not far out. I thought he was a teacher, actually, because he was... But the angels told me that he was electrician as well as teaching shop and that sort of thing. But anyhow, and then... Like Las Vegas coming home. God always sits me just where I need to be, I guess, because again, I'm by the window, and these two men came along, and that man was 85 years old. His wife had just crossed over. And his son had taken him to Vegas so they could have a good time. And they were beautiful people. They lived right close by. So I feel that my whole trip was divine designed by God. And I believe that young man, who was only 40-some, first young man, I think my path will cross with him again someday. Maybe he'll even come here, I don't know. God will use us if we're alert. Go back to your day and say, did God use you today? Were you alert enough for God to use you today? Be alert. God needs us.